Aren't you thankful that there's nothing we can do and that it doesn't depend upon us? Because if it did, how hopeless we would be, right? I mean, it's interesting as we were talking with Brother Jay about his football team over there in Israel. And neat, just as he's teaching them and he was working with them and spending those different times teaching and coaching, they thought they were pretty good. When Maranatha Baptist Bible College went over there to play them in football, he told them ahead of time, you just give it to them. And they just slaughtered the Israeli national team. And they just took them. But he wanted his team to realize they aren't everything they thought they were. And many times that's how it is in your and my life, right? I mean, man, I'm pretty good. I look at myself, at least compared to people around me, and I'm pretty good. I look at myself and I always look better than I really am, don't I, right? And aren't you thankful that it doesn't depend upon us, but truly it depends on Jesus Christ and all that He has done? There's a book that is entitled Done. Many religions in the world have do. But with us, it's not, of course, it's not a religion, but it is done because Jesus Christ did it all. Calvary covers it all. And that truly is a blessing that we have. And so tonight, as we gather around the Lord's table, that is really a thought that I want us to look at. It is done. There's nothing I can do but worship Him for it. And God then wants to use me because there are people all around us that need to know it is done for them. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. God, I pray that You would be glorified in our lives, that God, tonight, that as we listen to Your Word, that we would have tender hearts to worship You. God, I pray that You will strengthen us and help us to trust You, not for salvation in one sense, because God, most of us have. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, You'd work in their heart. But help us to trust You with the reality of preaching Your Word to the lost and dying around us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. One of the spots that some people have referred to this passage as the gospel in a nutshell. And the reality of going on in life with having the gospel in one location. When we think about the gospels, we refer to the first four books of the New Testament. And those are what, kids? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The four gospels. And we've talked a little bit about synoptic gospels, those which are similar and written in very similar pattern, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But tonight we're not just talking about the gospels, we're speaking about the gospel, very specific. When we use the word the, it points out something specific, right? Not just a tree, the tree. Tonight, I think Claire was asking me, so did you figure out which is your pear tree yet? We have one pear tree, and it is the pear tree. It's not a pear tree. It's the only one we have. Well, when we think about the gospel, this is the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, moreover, and the Apostle Paul is writing this. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel. Something very specific. There is not another gospel. There are not multiple ways. Back in New Testament times, some people would say, all roads lead to Rome. Rome being really the center of the world in those days. But not all roads lead to heaven. It's not that all of what we call churches are teaching the gospel. And without the gospel, you and I can't go to heaven. It's not by going to church. It's not by being a good person. It's not by not doing certain things or making sure I follow all of these strict things. And thinking about that with the Armsteads and the Jewish laws that many of the people, the kosher foods that they have to eat and so many, it's not by being certain legalistic in areas of life, but it's by the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says that here. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now note the words that we hear about presenting the gospel here. The first one we see is what? Declare. So he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I what? preached. There is another one of those, my obligations with the gospel. Declare it, preach it, so that others can what? Which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now again, you can't lose your salvation. Paul is not saying that if you forget all about it, you won't be saved anymore. But the reality that once you're saved, you're always saved, in remembering that hope, the promise of that. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So there we see again, there's two aspects of the gospel. There's one who gives it and one who receives it. And we'll see those different words tonight. Again, some of those words that Paul is using about himself with his responsibility with the gospel. Remember Archippus? He was to take the ministry which he was given, and what was he to do with it? Fulfill it. And we talked about it with the kids up front tonight. We all have an obligation and a responsibility with the gospel to present it to others. So some of the words that we see in this passage concerning the gospel. Verse 1, we saw declare the gospel, right? We also saw the word preached the gospel. And this is from one who is giving it out. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you. And so we see that aspect of handing it to someone, delivering it to someone. If someone brings you a delivery, do you like it when the UPS truck comes to your house? Right? It can be exciting. It's like, man, that's a good delivery. Or sometimes it's like, oh, that's just another one of those things I need. Or mail. How many of you love to go check your mailbox, right? And it's like, someone's delivered something, right? And that can be an exciting thing. Well, the thing is, you and I have to deliver the gospel. Yes, God has recorded His Word, the written Word of God, and God has used angels as messengers, but who is it that delivers the gospel to our neighbors? Us. Who is it that delivers the gospel to those we work with and those we don't know? It's us. It's my responsibility. And as Archippus was to, I need to fulfill that responsibility. And so we see that reality of delivering it, preaching it, declaring it. So that, as these Corinthian believers, remember, this is not just a book. Kids, what city was the church in that received the book or the letter of 1 Corinthians? Corinth, right? So Corinth, all of us, it's Corinth. And so Paul was writing to believers in the city of Corinth, and they had received the gospel. And so he's saying, I've declared it unto you, I've preached it, I've delivered it, verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul is saying, I didn't just get this. I didn't just make this up. In some ways, it kind of reminds me of many of the leaders of other religious ideas, or even what we would say cults, taking a false view of Jesus Christ and showing their way to get to heaven. I think of Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was a leader in which religious organization? The Mormons, the Latter-day Saints. And so he was used to start that, and it was very deceptive about who God is. But he said he received certain things. Now, Paul says he received certain things, and he did. But everything that Paul received was based upon the Word of God. It wasn't an addition. It wasn't extra. God had used the previous things throughout history, and we can see what God revealed to Paul, even on the road to Damascus, and even as Paul was taught by God and used by God in great ways. He says, I received it. I didn't just make this stuff up. It wasn't some dream because I ate too much pizza and Pepsi, right? Or whatever it may be. I mean, he received this. So verse number 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our what? And notice what he says. He received these things, but he received them according to the what? And that's what we always have to go by, kids, If your teacher or your friend at school or someone else says something of this is how you should live your life, you need to go back to the Bible and say, but is that what the Bible has to say? And adults, it's the same for us, isn't it? And as we think about sharing the gospel with others, we don't want people just to, you come to our church. As much as we want people to come to Jeruel Baptist Church, it's not just about building Jeruel and people coming. It's about the gospel. And that difference that it makes, it's because Christ died. And so Paul's saying, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 3, right? There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 talks about. For all have sinned. Romans 5, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet, there's a hope that we need. And so Paul is saying, the gospel is a cure for sin. But again, with the gospel, there are two people. There are the givers and the receivers. And first, to be a giver, we must, as Paul said, we must receive it. And we must receive it and believe it. It's interesting as we look at that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand. They believed it. They didn't just receive it and say, oh, that's some good stuff. That works. Like those infomercials you watch on TV, right? Buy our knife set. And all of the good things that this can do. You might, oh, that's a neat knife set. It's only 5 installments of $29.99 or, you know, whatever it may be. And so we say, well, that's nice, but I don't really believe it enough to make a difference in my life. Well, we want our neighbors, we want the people around us to receive the gospel and believe it, make it personal in their lives. Paul said, I received it, and he had to believe it for himself. He heard of Jesus Christ before he got saved, didn't he? In fact, Paul persecuted the followers of the way. Those who had received and believed in Jesus. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we see the reality that the gospel has the receivers and the givers. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you've received that gospel. But now we have a responsibility because there are people around us that haven't received it yet, that haven't believed it and made it personal. I think it was this morning after I came to church and did some stuff, and then we went back to pick up Karen and Mariah to come back for Sunday school. As I was driving up through Stockbridge, I was just thinking about the houses and looking at the houses, looking at the front doors. Those people need the gospel. Those people need the gospel. Where has God put you? You are a giver of the gospel. Why? Because Jesus gave it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. You and I are a giver, a preacher, a declarer of the gospel, because others need to receive it. And again, the gospel is what? He says, for I delivered that unto you, that Christ what? Died. And so as we think about the gospel, it's that Christ died. What are some of the different elements or aspects of the gospel? The gospel in a nutshell, Christ, number one, he what? He died. But did he just die? What does verse 3 say? How that Christ died for our sins. In order for the gospel to really be good news, we needed to first understand I was a sinner and I needed some good news. I needed something to help make a difference in my life. And in order for others to know that Jesus makes a difference and that Calvary covers it all, what does it cover? My sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the gospel, there's the declarers and the receivers. And the receivers need to hear, one, that Christ died. But they also need to hear that Christ died for their sins. It all comes to the point that you and I must admit we are sinners. And if you know Christ as Savior, you've done that. In fact, you look at your life and you say, yep, I still see my struggles and my sin, and I need God to have that strength for victory. And as we've been studying the book of Joshua on Sunday mornings, having victory in life as they're going in and conquering this land in this time of transition. The only way for us to continue on, the only way for us to be the declarers of the gospel that we need to be is by taking God's strength and letting, hey, that Calvary, and God, I need your strength for my sin today. And so there's those receivers. They've believed that Christ died. But Jesus didn't just die. You know, people could have said, in fact, I was listening to something the other night, they could have, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he didn't just faint or swoon. There are some who believe what is called the swoon theory. That Jesus just fainted. He just kind of passed out. And he was passed out for 3 days. No, Jesus died. That is a reality for the gospel. And not just that he was kind of dead, or he was mostly dead. And his heart stopped beating for 30 seconds and they got him back to life. No, Jesus was dead. And he was placed in a tomb. He was buried. That's another part of the gospel that I need to share with other people. Those who need to receive it need to know that he died for their sins and that he was buried. He indeed was dead. He was dead as dead could be. Because that's what made the difference. In fact, if we continue on in 1 Corinthians 15, and we won't see it tonight, but if you read through this later on, you'll remember that, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? It's because Jesus had victory over death. He indeed was dead. He was buried. And that's one of those things that we think about when we think he was buried. It proves he was dead. One of Leah's favorite songs is, Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. It was neat to hear her today as she was singing that as she was getting ready for her nap. And I want to sing it all by myself, Dad. And going through that. But we think about that song. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. Wow. And then the next verse, the second part of that next verse says, he tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Wow. He was buried and he came to life. And so Paul is saying, in order for the gospel I'm going to declare, that I have declared, and that you have received, and that others need to receive, is Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And it's according to the scripture. It wasn't just something that happened and this is new revelation. This has all changed. No, it's based upon what God had always been laying, that foundation. And verse number 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. What does it say again? According to the scriptures, prophecy is important. God's word is important. And the Bible prophesied that the Messiah would come. And so many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. But again, Paul is saying it's according to the scriptures. I find it very interesting. Which nationality was the Apostle Paul? Kids, which nationality? Was he a Gentile or a Jew? He was a Jew, right? So Jesus was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. But more than just being a Jew, Paul at one point was a religious Jew, a Pharisee. And they weren't very fair, you see. You had to keep every one of these laws and do all of these different things. But it's very interesting. The Pharisees, in theory, had a high view of which book? The Bible. Now, it's very interesting. We talked about that this morning, Brother Jay, as he was sharing with us about which young man? Josiah, right? As we were learning about Josiah this morning, what did they find in the temple? The law of God. I mean, whoa, that's not a high view of the Word of God. They found it. But it's interesting, as they found it and as they studied, they did that which the scripture said. Now, Paul, before he got saved as a Pharisee, knew some of the Old Testament law. memorized much of it. We think of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and how he memorized and had a high view of God's word. But even Paul here is saying what twice? According to the scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, if you had studied the scriptures in John, if you had studied these, you would have known I am he. Because I'm right here in the scriptures. So the gospel is not new news. It's good news based on all the prophecies that have been fulfilled. Paul says, I have declared, you have received. I have preached, you have believed. That Christ died for our what? Sins. According to the scripture. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So he rose. Now it's very interesting. Once again, we see he wasn't just kind of seen by a couple people. Look at what that next verse says, verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The phrase fallen asleep means some have died. Now when this says, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. So Jesus was seen by over 500 people. Now, does that mean many of those 500 people are still alive today? No. I thought of that when I was a kid. I thought, well, that's what it means. No, it meant that when the Apostle Paul wrote it, many of those people were still alive. That had seen the resurrected Jesus. How many of you have been on a jury? How many of you adults have been on a jury? I have never been privileged to. I would enjoy that, but I may not ever because I'm a pastor. But I would enjoy that privilege of being fulfilling that duty as a citizen here in the USA. On a jury, if you have a jury trial, often both sides like to call in what? Witnesses, right? And they have a witness to say, this is what I saw. How many court cases do you know that have over 500 witnesses? Not too many. And you know, it's interesting, it doesn't take 500 for the truth to be determined by a jury. But as Paul is writing about what? The gospel. He is telling us there have been more than 500 people who've seen this. And that are still alive as he was writing this to the Corinthian believers. Jesus is alive, he's saying. And so he says, I have declared, I have preached, I have presented, you have received, you've believed. I had to receive it too, he says. I'm no better than anybody else. He rose. So then we see, verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of who? Me also. Paul says, again, one of those requirements of being an apostle was seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ. And he says, here, I have received him. I have seen him. For I am, he says, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of all the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. Isn't that the reality? We aren't meet to be saved. We aren't worthy of being saved. He's saying, I wasn't worthy of being an apostle. I'm not worthy of salvation. Are you? If you think you are, maybe you need to evaluate. We're not worthy of salvation. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage. He says, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, how is it that we can receive the gospel? How is it that we can present and declare and preach the gospel? But by the what? Grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we what? Preach, and so ye believed. And we can continue on, just such a powerful chapter here. But the gospel. Jesus died. As we gather around the Lord's table, we think about Jesus giving his what? His body. Do we really grasp that? He died. So often, as Christians, these are words we hear and we just get used to, accustomed to. Yep, Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. We know the gospel. We can share it. But do we really stop to ponder that? Brother Jay showed us pictures of people in Israel that he's working with that need the gospel. And as we got to watch their faces across the screen this morning, we pondered, and hopefully it hit you in a different way. And we think about our neighbors in a different way. But let's stop and think about Jesus. He really gave his body for me. How that Christ died for our sins. Paul isn't saying how that Christ died for your sins. Paul made it personal and he said, for Christ died for our sins. According to the scripture. What was Jesus, why was he given that name Jesus? For he shall save his people from their. Aren't you thankful? Jesus gave his body for my sins. As we think about that tonight, man, let's thank him for giving his body for me. I don't deserve that. As we celebrate, as we think about the grape juice representing his what? His blood, the illustration that he had shed his own blood for our sins. Wow. Bleeding isn't fun. Going and giving your blood, some of you, it gets old hat, right? But it's like, got to go get blood again, or they got to go take more out of me, and whatever it may be. They didn't just put a needle in his arm so he could give some blood. You know, they took a crown that they made of thorns and mashed it on his head. They nailed him to a cruel cross. They whipped him. As many have said, even with glass and other bits that were in those that whip. Why? For my sins. The gospel. That's good news. It sounds pretty gory. But it had to be. Because I deserve hell. Paul said, who am I? I'm not meet to be an apostle. In another passage he says he's the chief of all sinners. But when we evaluate our lives and we really see who we are, we don't deserve Christ. Aren't you thankful that he died for you and for me? Wow. Calvary covers it all. That was a big sacrifice. And when we think about the gospel, thank God that others have preached and declared so you could receive. Think about those that God used in your life. And thank God for those. Yes, there was one who finally got to point you and lead you to Jesus Christ as Savior. But think about all the people God used to, as Brother Jay said this morning, throw rocks out of the field. Plant. Water. 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 You know, Brother Jay said this morning when I asked him in Sunday school, you remember that question answer time, have you seen any come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Now, they've been over there quite a while. And what was his answer? Could you imagine being faithful without seeing anybody come to know Jesus as Savior for that long? But as he constantly reminds himself, maybe he's just the rock thrower. So he can lay that foundation. Are you throwing the rocks for your neighbors? For your coworkers? Are you planting that seed? Are you watering it? Maybe God will allow you to be the one who ultimately points them to Jesus Christ where they receive him as you have done in the past. The gospel, it needs to be preached and it needs to be received. You've received it. Let's go preach it. But because we've received it tonight, let's praise God for the great gift that he has given to us. Father, we thank you for your love. God, we don't deserve your love, for one, but God, we sure don't deserve the great gift that you have given to us. Dying on the cross, being buried, rising again, all of that pain and suffering because you loved us. But we sure are thankful. God, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that this would hit them in a different way and that they would see their great need. But God, for those of us who know you, who are saved, God, would you challenge us to be the preacher, the declarer, the presenter of the gospel this week? Because there are others around us that need to be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward tonight. Maybe you don't know Jesus as Savior. Don't leave without getting saved. Come talk to me. Talk with someone else. But for those of us who have received the gospel, who in your life this week does God want you to present the gospel to? You've been given it in a nutshell, died for our sins, buried, rose again. Who is it that God wants you to present it to this week? Maybe there's someone on your heart that you know you need to present it to this week. Maybe you don't know who, but God will use you. Would you just say with an uplifted hand, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me that I would present and preach the gospel as God wants me to this week? Amen. Let's make that commitment then. God, use me. Let's just take a couple minutes here and pray quietly.